Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, if you would, please. Isaiah chapter 40. And I want to speak this morning about a legend falls, yet God remains. Just a few verses here and just kind of a jumping off point, really. But Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 6, it says this. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. As many of you probably know or have heard, Chuck Norris passed away this past week. Just some thoughts regarding that, but then I want to use that first to emphasize some points. On March the 10th of this year, it was his 86th birthday. And on that day, he posted a video of himself sparring in Hawaii with the caption, I don't age, I level up. A source who spoke with him the day before said he'd been out working out and was in an upbeat, jovial mood. 10 days after that birthday video, he was gone, surrounded by his family. Now, I know 86 years is getting up there pretty good. Right up to the end, he maintained a strength about him. And of course, the internet has really turned him into a myth. And many of the things, thousands of jokes have been built around him, the premise that he couldn't be killed, he couldn't be hurt, he couldn't lose, he couldn't age. He became the symbol of toughness and strength and invincibility. And just to give you a couple of the things, Chuck Norris doesn't do push-ups. He pushes the earth down. Chuck Norris counted to infinity twice. Chuck Norris doesn't need an alarm clock. He tells the sun when to get up. Chuck Norris doesn't need a flashlight. Darkness hides from him. Chuck Norris was once bit by a king cobra. After 10 days, the cobra died. The coronavirus tried to infect Chuck Norris. It is now in isolation, recovering from Chuck Norris. Humorous, certainly, but he wasn't God. He wasn't a perfect man. But it appears that he was a Christian. But the fact is, even legends have limits. This actor, known for his action movies and his martial arts skills, and he even served in the military as well. But as the verse said, all flesh is as grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of our God endures forever. Even legends have limits. Even the strongest among us will die because he's still a man, and they're going to fade away. But the three things I want us to look at this morning. First is this. Death is a certainty. Nobody gets out of here alive. There is one exception to that. But barring the rapture, we're all going to die one day. That's a certainty. Look at Hebrews 9:27. And sometimes we ignore this, overlook this. But here in Hebrews 9:27, it says this, and it is appointed unto men once to die. That's an appointment of God, something he said. And after this, the judgment. So not only is there an appointment that we have with death, but one day we're going to stand before that holy God. And if you're not a child of the King, that's not going to be a good experience. We're all going to stand before him. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. We're all going to go back to the dirt. God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. But that body that he breathed life into is one day going to take its last breath. It's going to return to the ground. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 19. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. In this respect only, we're no different than an animal. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go into one place. All are the dust, and all turn to dust again. We're destined for that dust, the dirt. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That breath that God breathed into the nostrils of man is going to return to God. The body's going to go in the ground. Question is, what happens to the soul? Where does that go? 1 Corinthians 15:22. And if you want to stick a finger here, we'll be back. It'll be a while, but we'll be back to this verse again. 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says this: For as in Adam all die. Death is a certainty. There's no escaping it. There's no avoiding this appointment that God has set it for us. But secondly, I want you to see this. Death is final. It's the end of opportunities. You come to that point, and there's no more chance after that. You're done. The time to do anything is right now. This day that the Lord hath made, that we're to rejoice and be glad in. It's the end of life on earth. Look at Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14, and beginning in verse 1. Job 14:1. Man that is born of woman is of few days, and full of trouble. Pretty negative view of life, isn't it? Sometimes it feels like that, though. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined. Interesting. Think about that. See, God knows everything. God is not bound by time, because God contains time. And so he knows not only the date of your birth before it took place, but the date of your death. His days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. So when your number's up, that's it. You got no say in that. You've got no control over that. Because God's already got the time set. Verse 6, turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is a hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. You've probably seen that if you've walked in the woods or anything, a down tree, but yet there's new life sprouting out of that thing. Not so with man. Verse 8, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant, boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Do you realize Job was the very first book of the Bible written? Job lived about the same time as Abraham. Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, didn't live till maybe 1,000 years or so after Job and Abraham. So what Job is writing here is with absolutely no other scripture available to him. But God has given him an understanding of what's to come in the future. Notice that again, verse 12. So man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. There's coming a general resurrection at the end of all things when God destroys this heaven and earth and creates the new one. And at that point, all are going to be raised out of the graves, lost and saved alike, godly and wicked alike, and all stand before God to hear the final decree upon their eternal fate. They're going to stand before him. And Job saw that. Job understood that. The end of life on earth, soon forgotten. Look at Psalm 31. Psalm chapter 31. Verse 12. The psalmist writes, I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Now, the psalmist obviously is still alive when he's writing this thing, but he's saying that my condition is just like the dead. I'm forgotten, forsaken. Do you realize how soon after a person's death they pass from the awareness of other people? Just this year, there's been several famous people that have died. You probably don't even know who they are. If I mention their names, you would. Like Jesse Jackson, Robert Mueller, Aldrich Ames. They all died this year. But forgotten. And maybe even people more close to you. Certainly, our loved ones remain in our minds. But even that, to a degree, it begins to fade away. Forgotten as a dead man. Look back at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. The finality of death. It's over. It's done. It ends our life on this earth. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 16. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as a fool? They just pass from their mind. Yes, some people build all kinds of things as monuments to themselves, or others build monuments to individuals to try to keep that memory alive. But, and maybe kind of keeps it back in the background, but they're not in the forefront anymore. That memory fades. Look at Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 10. And I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. And Solomon is writing from a man's perspective who had not made provision for God in his life. He had gone and just reaped up treasures for himself and lived to the enjoyment of himself. And at the end of his life, he looks back and he says, what a waste. It's all vanity. It's all meaningless. Just like the dead that are gone. There's no more, it's the end of life on earth. Secondly, there's no more opportunity to do good. Think about that. That your chance right now is to do good. Once you're dead, it's done. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 7. 1 Timothy 6, 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Like has been said, you never see a hearse or a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. You're not going to take anything with you. And every opportunity is done. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I guess I should have told you to keep your finger there. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Verse 15. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. Nothing goes with you. And he shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points, as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? It makes you think about, what are you investing your life in right now? Certainly it's not wrong to labor and gain some things and use your monies that you have for some enjoyment. But how much eternal value is there to the things that you're devoting your time to, your life to? This life that the God who gave you breath to live, what have you done for him? And now's the opportunity. You see, this is the last chance for an unsaved person to make things right with God so they can spend eternity with him. But it's his last chance for we, his people, to do anything to lay up treasure in heaven. That opportunity passes when you breathe your last breath. Look at Psalm 49, verse 6. Psalm 49:6, they trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool, and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. In verse 17, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. You see, only what we lay up in store ahead is going to be preserved for eternity. Here's a statement from Chuck Norris. I used to devote my life to fame and fortune. I had learned a hard lesson in those years. If your whole life is spent trying to make money and you neglect the important people in your life, you will create a deep void in your heart and soul, not to mention your relationships. I fell into that trap. See, he was raised in a Christian home. He even made a profession of faith when he was about 12 years old. But then he began to get famous and accumulate the money, and that's where all of his attention went until he was 58 years old. So some 40-some years, he lived for himself. And like Solomon, he got to a point, he looked back, he says, it's all vanity. It's all meaningless. It's all going to be gone one day. And only what he's done for Jesus Christ is he reaping now for the rest of eternity. This is the last opportunity to do good. But more importantly, it's the last opportunity to repent. If you've not made peace with God, or if you've drifted from God like Norris did, now's the time to get back right with him. To begin to, as a true Christian, to begin to lay up some treasures for eternity. Because when you die, you're going naked. And only what you've laid up is going to be waiting for you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We're to be laborers with God. There ought to be something in your life that you're doing with God. Well, I come to church every week. That's not for God, that's for you. This is a time to get your full soul fed or to get rebuked. Like right now, maybe, or corrected, or encouraged. But this is for you. This isn't for God. What are you doing for God? Read on here, verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So if you're saved this morning, if you trusted Jesus Christ your Savior, that's the foundation. That's what God did for you. As Paul to the Corinthian believers, took the word of God to them and they got saved. He said, I've laid the foundation. But what's being built on that? The foundation is going to stay put. It's fixed. In Jesus Christ, if you're in him, that's where you stay. Regardless of what you do on this earth. But is there anything on it to show for your life here? Look at this, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, see, you got the foundation. What are you building? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Two choices. Look at verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. We're all going to stand before him to give an account of the things done in the body, whether it be good or evil. Whether it be gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Read on. Verse 13, every man, I've read that already. I guess I didn't read all. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. It's going to be subjected to the fire. It's going to try it. It's going to test it. It's going to prove it of what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So if I've got some gold, silver, and precious stones that I've been putting upon that foundation, they'll be going through the fire and be purified and come out the other side. Because fire won't destroy them. It only burns out the impurities. But if it's wood, hay, stubble, and the fire comes, whew, and we're back to the foundation, everything's gone. Nothing to show for this life. Verse 15, if a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You don't lose your salvation. You just lose everything else. And you've got nothing for all eternity except your existence there. Other verses talk about cities that we can reign over and ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, and crowns that we can receive and other rewards. But if it's nothing but wood, hay, stubble, there's no reward. You're just there naked. Nothing to show for this life. You know, there's a shame for us today in nakedness. So we wear clothes to cover up. But I think this is going to be an even greater shame than a physical nakedness. To look at what others might be enjoying. And I've got nothing. Because I live for myself, with no place for God in my life. The wood, hay, stubble. Death is sudden. You talk about the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. He had these big, this wonderful bumper crop. And he looks at that thing and he says, man, what am I going to do with all this abundance? I know what I'll do. I'll build me more barns and fill them up. Then I'm going to have so much. And God says, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And then whose shall all this be? He had all that physical, material thing, but nothing spiritual for eternity. People don't always have time to get right. I've got one more quote from Chuck Norris. I think this is probably one of the most important. He said this, it is important to to make your peace with Christ while the opportunity exists. Life is so fragile. You never know when it's going to be over. It could be over in a blink of an eye. And then it's too late to accept God's gift of salvation. Again, I don't know about his personal relationship with God, but there's things that indicate that he truly did know Jesus Christ as his Savior. I don't even know that I'd agree with much of anything that he believed, except that I'm pretty sure he believed in Jesus Christ. And for eternity, that's the most important thing. Said death is final. But I want you to think about this. Death is not the end. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 22 again. He said, "For as in Adam all die." Are you breathing this morning? You're in Adam. Everybody that's ever been born into this world, my grandson, 3 weeks old today, he's in Adam. But that's not enough. Look at the rest of the verse. "Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive." We're in Adam, which means we're going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But what you need to do is to get in Christ, to be made alive, to begin to have the opportunity to lay some things up for eternity. Because the end for the unbeliever is an eternity in hell. Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Begin at verse 19. Luke 16:19. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores." And you look at that, you know, walking down around the streets of San Francisco this past week. You see them all over the place, just people just like that, sitting out in front of Starbucks. And I just watched as, while Eileen was in there, people bringing out something for the guy to eat and something for him to drink. I think, man, what a life. What a death, really, because it's not living. And that's kind of where Lazarus was. And they got this man with all this wealth and all that he can eat, so much that he's got plenty to give to this poor guy. Verse 21, "And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." And desiring to be fed, verse 22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom." What a beautiful thought. This man who had nothing, and we don't know why he's there. He maybe because of some physical infirmity. But the thing was, he'd made peace with God at some point. And the angels came and carried him to Abraham's bosom. The comfort that's suggested by that, the preciousness of that thought. God says, "Hey, Gabriel, Go get him. And the angels wrap him in his arms and carry him to Abraham's bosom. But the beauty ends right there. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I know that guy. He could see across the divide where Lazarus had been carried by the angels. And that man now is living in comfort and ease, unlike he'd ever experienced. And this rich man is now suffering greatly because he didn't prepare for this. Verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Still ordering people around. But you think about just dipping his finger in water and touching his tongue with that just teeny amount of moisture would satisfy him. Or at least ease him to some degree. Think about that. I've been thirsty sometimes. But nothing like that. That just that little tiny amount would even offer some relief. You send them to me that I might be delivered to this torment. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Oh, just some ease of this torment. Because death is not the end of everything. It's the beginning of eternity. Whether it be in torment or comfort. And even for those who had nothing but the foundation, they're still enjoying the comfort for all eternity. Because they made the right choice. For us, for the child of God, eternity is the beginning of everlasting life for the believer. Look at Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord was the death of Lazarus. In spite of his poverty and his suffering on this earth, it was precious. You can read a lot into that. One of the things is, he was translated from this misery to that glory and comfort. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Keep your finger here. We'll go to Proverbs in a moment. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14 and verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. That eternal rest that we have with God and the things that we did will follow us there. And then Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 32. Proverbs 14:32, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. A child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. And my death will be precious in his sight. And if I die before the rapture takes place, I don't know if angels are going to come and get me, but God's going to take me home to live with him for all of eternity. And folks, the older I get, the more precious that thought gets to me. This old thing's wearing out. I got in late for my connection from San Francisco to Washington. I was supposed to be in at 10:30. It was 11 o'clock. And I thought, they rescheduled me for Friday at 12, I think it was. I wasn't going to get into State College until 2:30. I thought, you know what? I'm not sitting around here all night. I rented a car and drove home, got home at 3 a.m. Friday morning. I was tired. But one day, there'll be no more weariness. There'll be no more aches and pains. I'm just going to be a child of a King, able to enjoy anything that I may have laid up in store for me. Don't miss out on it. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can do that right now today. It's not in this church. It's not in this preacher. It's in Jesus Christ. For as in Adam, all die, and even in Christ, you got to get in Christ, shall all be made alive. Amen. Let's stand, please, for prayer.